Welcome to our Farming Water Scotland podcast series. Over the series, we're looking at various mitigation options, guidance, and farmers' experience to help manage and improve water quality on farm in the surrounding area. In today's podcast, we'll be discussing the management of Think Water and integrated pest management with Neil Evans and Dave Bell from the Voluntary Initiative. I'm Fiona Salter, an environmental consultant from SEC Consulting and host for today's podcast. Neil, Dave, thank you for joining us today. Do you two want to just give us a quick brief background into how you've got to where you are now? Dave, do you want to go first?
Yep, Dave Bell. I'm a mixed farmer in East Fife. I'm VI, the Voluntary Initiative chair person since mid-January. And I have previously been Scottish chair of the Voluntary Initiative, and I've been a VI champion for about 6 years, we'll say. And I initially got into the VI through engagement with NFU Scotland as one of the main sponsors. But I work with the whole supply chain out with farming as well. And I cereal cropping, potato, peas, and a beef suckler herd as well. So full spectrum of mixed farming and do my bit for to work with industry.
Neil?
Okay, so I'm Neil Evans. Did my first degree in biology in Liverpool. Then I worked briefly at the John Innes Institute in Norwich, looking at fungicide resistance. Then I made a big jump actually and lived in Scotland for 5-6 years. I did my PhD at the University of Glasgow, but I actually did the work at what was SAC Auchincruith, or SRUC nowadays, looking at diseases of linseed at the time, which was great, and used to have wonderful field plots overlooking the Forth of Clyde, looking at the Isle of Arran. Then I did an even bigger jump and went and lived in California for 2 years and worked on diseases of pistachio trees, which was very, very interesting. Then came back and worked at Rothamsted Research, which is the oldest agricultural research station in the world, which was founded in 1843 and still continues to do some of its experimental work that was started then on some of the fields. And during my time at Rothamsted, I spent about half of the time actually out in the field working on oilseed rape, developing oilseed rape disease forecasting models. And then for the second part of my time there, which was the sort of last 5-6 years, I was involved in a EU network of excellence project called Endure, which basically involved about 14 organizations across the whole of Europe. It didn't actually do any research itself. It just brought together all of this disparate information about integrated pest management. And that gave me a great sort of background, not only in plant pathology, which I was obviously, you know, well versed with, but also looking at sort of entomology and soil science and that kind of stuff. So that gave me a sort of a great sort of background in integrated pest management. And I've been working with the Voluntary Initiative for about the past 5 years now, I think, something like that.
Wealth of experience there between the both of you. So thank you for joining us today. Just to basically introduce, what is the Voluntary Initiative?
Well, maybe I could kick off there, Fiona. The Voluntary Initiative was basically formed in 2001. It was in response to the government of the time suggesting that there should be an introduction of a pesticide tax. A group of organisations across the industry came together and suggested that, you know, a pesticide tax hasn't really worked in places where they've been introduced, and suggested that, you know, with a set of measures in place, that the industry could basically self-regulate itself. Mm-hmm. So they went back to the government suggested this, and the government said, okay, well, we'll give you 5 years and we'll see how you get on. So it all began with sort of self-regulation. We introduced measures such as the NROSO scheme, the National Register of Sprayer Operators. So this incorporates about 22,000 sprayer operators across the whole of the UK. And the idea is that, you know, they have to be professionally qualified to begin with, but also that they then need to accumulate professional personal development points, which they do on an annual basis, so that they're attending events, attending training, and they're always up to speed in terms of new innovation and, you know, new bits and pieces in terms of how they can operate more efficiently in terms of spraying arable and grassland crops, and basically putting the plant protection products where they should belong, which is in the field.
Obviously, you're UK-based. Is there differences between like Scotland and the rest of the UK?
Until recently, it was more or less exactly the same. But since, you know, we now have the devolved regional governments, there has been a little bit of divergence, shall we say. But in terms of the way that things are done, I would say that, you know, across all four countries, so that's obviously England, Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland, we still try to maintain a measured approach, so that people are sort of still doing exactly the same thing, but with slightly sort of regional differences, as appropriate.
Dave, do you want to come in as a, on the flip side of the practical on the ground?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, yeah, the VI is a national organisation, and we have eight sponsors that are UK, cover the whole UK, with the Agricultural Engineers Association, the Agricultural Industries Confederation, the Countryside Land and Land Business Association, CropLife UK, the National Agricultural Association of Contractors, as well as the three devolved nations with NFU, NFU Scotland and Ulster's Farming Union. So with those main sponsors, we cover the whole of the UK. And and I, as the new chair person, I support all the whole country. We're very lucky to have Amy Geddes here in Scotland as well, who is the chair of the VI Scotland. We all work together as one team. But the benefits of having the individual devolved chairs, shall we say, is that the things that work for Scotland don't necessarily work for England or Northern Ireland. So we can tailor our message to sit better where we are. But being a Scottish farmer here in East Fife, I'm very happy to have the two of us, both Amy and myself, fighting for the good cause of the VI.
Thanks, great. A really useful insight of what you can achieve and what you're setting to achieve within the organisation. And then moving into practical sense, for those who might not know, what is integrated pest management?
Well, integrated pest management is just good practice. And farmers are already doing integrated pest management. Sometimes we don't label it as such, because it's the way we've always farmed. We understand how you plough down grass weeds so they don't come up again, or you look at a crop to see how much disease is in it, or how many aphids are in it, and you check the thresholds and you apply a fungicide or an aphicide depending on the crop requirements. This is just pest management. This is just good practice. And that's what this is. It's making sure that we put our money, the expense of fertilizer, the expense of plant protection products, in the right place. I can speak quite clearly as a Scottish farmer and a fifer. I'm proud that I'm tight and I don't want to waste my money in the wrong place. So it's nice and simple to just, you know, it's good practice. That's what farmers need to be doing anyway. And if we're mindful of where we're putting our products, we're not putting them in watercourses. We're not putting them in hedgerows. We're not putting them in environmental areas because that's not the cash crop we're growing. And we need to be more mindful of this. And the water companies, not so much in Scotland, but more down south, it's very expensive for them to take active ingredients out of the water systems for drinking water. I jokingly say that because we are tighter in Scotland, that we don't waste our money by putting it in watercourses anyway, but which doesn't always go down too well south of the border. But we it's just good practice, and no one wants to throw money away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah. I mean, I'd just like to add to that you know, over the past course of past 5 or 6 years, at the VI, we've been developing integrated pest management plans that folk can use to basically plan long term in terms of how they, you know, perhaps increase their rotation or look at cultural methods of control rather than reaching for the can straight away. And we've been developing that in collaboration with the NFU, but also with SIUC, with folks such as Henry Kreis and Fiona Burnett. We have a suite of IPM plans now that are applicable to England and Wales. So we have an arable plan, a grassland plan, and a horticultural plan. And I think I'm right in saying, Dave, that up north of the border, there is a similar suite of similar integrated pest management plans that are based at the Scottish Crop Health Clinic, developed by Fiona and Henry. And they all do the same sort of thing, really. They make farmers and sprayer operators and growers think longer term about how they can plan to use plant protection products more efficiently, but also to look at alternative means of controlling pests and diseases and weeds. And just following on from what Dave was saying about water, it's something that the VI has focused on in the last 10 to 15 years. We have a dedicated water group that meets 3 times a year that includes the whole of Water UK, which is the umbrella group that covers all 26 water companies across the whole of the UK. We meet and talk about what they're finding in water. And it's really quite interesting that you can really divide the whole of the UK in two. If you sort of draw a line from, say, Aberdeen down to Bristol, then basically, you know, what the water companies find in the east is a lot of sort of arable herbicides associated with cereal crops, oilseed rape, and the like, such as flufenacet. Whereas to the west and the north, you can really divide it up into finding grassland products, so herbicides such as MCPA, 2,4-D, and these are sort of the sort of the concerns that we have. And so, in recent years, in about the last sort of 5 years, I guess, the voluntary initiative, we've had a real focus, really, on helping the grassland growers to perhaps up their game in terms of best practice. Obviously, the arable guys, they're out spraying, you know, plant protection products on a sort of a monthly basis to keep their crops clean. Whereas, you know, grassland growers perhaps only, you know, get the sprayer out of the shed every couple of months to go and treat a patch of docks or, you know, some soft rushes or something like that. So we've actually been working quite hard with some of the water companies, for example, Welsh Water, Northern Ireland Water and United Utilities, where they've actually been sponsoring farmers to perhaps not, you know, spray a whole field with MCPA to control soft rushes, but they've been actually actively encouraging farmers to, for example, use a weed wiper, which uses, you know, a very small amount of glyphosate, which basically just treats the problem rush or dock in the case of a specific field.
I suppose like bringing new innovative ways to treat a problem that they don't even really, they wouldn't be aware of in the first place. Exactly. These initiatives are a great way of communicating different methods.
That's right. It's all about sort of like, you know, looking at alternative ways of controlling pests, weeds and diseases.
Yeah. And going back to the IPM plants, is that something that farmers can do themselves or do they need to get specialists in to help them do? Might be my naivety, but
there's speaking as a farmer, there's plenty of people who are wanting to take money out of the farm for consultancy, and the whole point of an IPM plan is that farmers, land and producers, can do it themselves, and it's a tick box form on the Plant Health Centre Scotland. It's on the website, IPM assessment plans. You click it and you just tick through some boxes. It takes about 5 minutes and you get a score. And the score is kind of irrelevant, but you want to do it each year. And that's the whole point of an IPM plan, is it's part of your business. And as we see with the SAF forms coming forward, that's going to be one of the five options you have to tick for your support payments. So, and the majority of farmers do an IPM plan already for assurance bodies with SQC, especially on the arable side of things. So it's not a hard thing to incorporate into a SAF form. And you do this annually, and it gives you metrics and suggestions on how to improve your integrated pest management. So as we do our plan annually, we have a way of growing and improving, and it's meant to be a part of the farming business rather than just a tick box exercise. Mm-hmm. And it really is something that can help direction and movement towards that.
Has, just following on, like, have there been any statistics or have you noticed any difference in like pollinators on your farm since like starting to do these plans? I don't know when you started doing them on your farm, like just personally or from like talking to other people, like have your fertilizer costs, like the cost of changing your management, or if you have changed your management options, have you noticed anything different on your farm?
It's a really interesting challenge sometimes looking at insecticides, mm-hmm. herbicides, and they're cheap. So it's not a big thing to add into a spray mix. And it's that safety, it's that insurance blanket that for a couple of pence a hectare will cover that. But it's the understanding that if there's not bad aphids there, we're killing the good predators, the good insects, the good arachnids as well. And personally, I don't spray any insecticides over any of my cereal crops. I haven't for many years. I do on my potatoes, and I don't hide that. But because I don't spray insecticides on the majority of my ground, the bounce back is so much quicker. And I've had the ecological expert of Lorna Cole, who's an SAC consultant as well. She's done several biodiversity audits over the farm. And she's happy. So if you get Donna happy,
that's always good.
But and I put up photos sometimes of my first wheat after potatoes, and it's glistening with spider webs. And I really do see this as a badge of honor that although I use insecticides for my potatoes, because it's a larger cash crop, and we're not trying to reduce anyone's income, we're trying to make sure we just put our money in the right place. And the fact that my biodiversity bounces back so quickly is a real, I'm really proud of that part of it.
I suppose it's a way of making your business as resilient to the change in the climate and all the different impacts that are coming, because obviously the biodiversity or the wealth of biodiversity within your soil, within your farm, is like crucial for being able to flow with the changes. But you also, you're a working business, you need to survive. So it's really interesting that your management decisions have still managed to keep Lornicle happy.
It's used quite a lot, the phrase of you've got to be in the black to be in the green. You know, you've got to be profitable to be environmentally friendly. And as challenging as our margins are, with the external factors, with weather, with policy, these things being put upon us, yes, it's challenging. But good IPM is just good farming business, and it shouldn't be seen or fearful of that in that respect.
Yeah. Thank you. And then moving on to like more specific initiatives within the VI, I just want to discuss Think Water. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Neil, if you wanted to give us a little bit of background on what your Think Water initiative is.
Sure, yeah. So the Think Water initiative started about 5 years ago. It was initially focused on oilseed rape herbicides, specifically down here in the south in a couple of catchments where there was a problem. But more recently, we've widened it out so that it covers not only the oilseed rape herbicides, but also some wheat herbicides, but also, you know, more specifically into the grassland areas as well. So it's basically just, I guess it's just an initiative that makes farmers aware that, you know, what they do in the farmyard, what they do out in the field affects what the water companies find in their brooks and in their streams, you know, in their burns. So it's all about sort of awareness and trying to think and how to do things in terms of best practice. And, you know, we have a phrase, keep it in the field. So, you know, this is exactly what the program is trying to do. Is, as Dave has already mentioned, you know, it's all about saving money. It's all about putting the product where it should be, which is on the crop, and not in the rivers or the burns, so that it becomes somebody else's problem.
And obviously it's been running for five years. What kind of interaction have you had with the program so far?
Well, so far we've had quite a lot of interaction with the likes of Anglian Water, Affinity Water, and Essex and Suffolk Water, which were the three main sort of catchments that had a specific program where they had problems. But we're sort of widening it out now so that you know, it's more of a UK based approach. For example, over in Northern Ireland, we have a water partnership catchment operation who meet quite often to discuss local issues in terms of Northern Ireland water. We also work quite closely with SEPA in Scotland, and obviously with yourselves in terms of Farming and Water Scotland. And we are, you know, basically just trying to sort of raise awareness and help people to sort of help themselves in terms of, you know, where they put their product and how they apply it and how to sort of use best practice, basically.
Yeah, I suppose it goes back to what Dave says before, like farmers already know this, but it's just
yes.
potentially bringing it to the forefront of the brain.
Exactly.
And then focusing on the industry, like have you noticed, obviously, since this has been 2001, you said the VI has been going, what kind of changes have you noticed in the industry over this over 20 years?
Well, maybe
that's a big sweeping statement, but
no, maybe I can just say that, you know, I think we've brought a lot more sort of professionalism to the industry. Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, sprayer operators, I think it's probably true to say that, you know, we have, well, as I already mentioned, we have about 22,000 members on the National Register of Sprayer Operators, you know, and considering Europe, they're probably amongst the highest and best well-trained, I would say. In terms of, you know, being up to date, using new technologies such as, you know, reduced drift spray nozzles, that kind of stuff. Another program of the VI, which began before the VI was actually initiated, is the National Sprayer Testing Scheme, which is run by our sponsor, the Agricultural Engineers Association. So basically they test about 18,000 pieces of spray or application equipment every year, just to make sure that, you know, it's doing its job. It's putting the plant protection products or fertilizer granules where they should be going. So it's just making sure that, you know, the equipment is fit for purpose and doing exactly what it should do. And then obviously the sort of, as we've already mentioned, the sort of third initiative from the voluntary initiative really is the integrated pest management plans, which Dave has already discussed specifically for Scotland.
Yeah, and then going to your IPM, you've got champions. Are they based in Scotland or are they throughout the UK? And do you want to tell us more about that initiative?
Yeah. We have 41 VI
41.
Champions
wow.
at the moment.
That's not more than I thought. Yes,
yeah. Indeed. Yeah. And they're based across the whole of the UK, literally from Cornwall up to Orkney and over into Northern Ireland as well. And these are sort of innovative, enthusiastic specialists in integrated pest management on the whole. So we have farmers, we have consultants, we have agronomists. In one case, we have a water catchment officer. And, you know, they are a sort of a freely available resource for the industry, not just for agriculture, but also for the water industry to attend meetings, catchment officer presentations, that kind of thing, just to speak on a sort of a local regional context, if that's the right word to say, in terms of, you know, what might be a specific problem in a particular region of the UK. And in Scotland, we've recently added a couple of extra VI champions. So we now have a grassland specific VI champion based down in Dumfries and Galloway, which is obviously a huge sort of area of grassland specific sort of land. But we also have VI Scottish champions in the east. Dave is one for a start. we also have people a little bit further north up into Aberdeenshire, which is obviously sort of quite a large arable area in terms of Scotland.
And Dave, do you want to come in and discuss what it's actually like to be a champion?
Well, just to add to Neil's the champions, and you know, it's I'm really proud to be a VA champion, but also really proud to be in the same thought of as in the same scheme as like people like Fiona Burnett, Professor Burnett, who's a stalwart of IPM and fungicide resistance in the UK, if not worldwide, based at SRUC in Edinburgh. And you know, it's it is really powerful to have her be seen as a VI champion as well as myself and other researchers and farmers. And yeah, it shows that we're walking the walk, not just talking the talk, to have these people here. And I mean, yeah, it's not quite as heavily utilized in Scotland as it is south of the border, because the water catchment schemes and the water companies are more involved further south, because there's more more requirement of water, really. Up here, we're only just getting into the more water catchment areas, and we're working, well, we'll be working better with Nature Scot as well, with the water catchment work they've started to do to clean up waterways. So really looking forward to that. And hopefully we'll be utilised when we build that relationship to have the VI champions utilised to be that midway point, or that softer approach from the policymakers and the maybe the people who with the stick, and we are the ability to say, look, it's not as bad as you think. This is what we do, and just put it in different framing and put it in context to the grower, the land manager, so that it doesn't seem so challenging. And I think that's a huge part we can play with the mindset and the growth of that understanding.
Yeah. I mean, I'd just like to add to that, you know, I mean, as Dave said, in Scotland, the problem isn't quite so bad, because, you know, you have huge amounts of water in comparison to what we have down here. Just as an example, I think we had a whole series of meetings in collaboration with Thames Water actually last year, where we had about five or six different VI champions speaking at meetings across about 2 or 3 months, you know. So it's all about that regional context and talking about, you know, what people can do to make a difference to their actual sort of local environment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, using people that are also local and understand the troubles of that area makes such a big difference.
It does, it does.
And what can farmers who want to either find out more or do something more practical that they're not already doing, where can they go to get more information? How can they contact the VI or the champions? What are their systems in place for that?
Well, the VI has a great website, which is voluntaryinitiative.org.uk, and it signposts to different schemes, different initiatives, legislation involved. You have the Farming and Water Scotland .org, and it's again is it's more of the policy, more of the binding rules, the updates to controlled activities, regulations, etc., etc. And so these are freely accessible and pretty easy to find through a Google search. Other search engines are available, I'm sure, and I would expect. And then you've also got the Plant Health Centre Scotland, which is specifically for Scottish IPM plans, and the resources and the amount of information on that, which is funded through the FAS and Scottish Government, and managed mainly by SRUC, is a wealth of experience. But we as the VI work hand in hand with all these organisations to get the message across and to try and make it less scary of how we integrate this into our farming businesses.
Yeah, I suppose break it down into manageable pieces.
Yeah. And we also have, you know, social media as well. So you can find us quite easily on Twitter, Facebook as well. But just also mentioning that we have other initiatives. So I'd just like to mention Be Connected in this case, which is a scheme of ours, which is also UK-wide. But it basically uses Google Maps to do what it says on the tin. So it connects beekeepers with farmers. And it's totally free, totally anonymous, and very quick and easy to use. And, you know, we're encouraging beekeepers and farmers to sign up to Be Connected. We work quite closely with the British Beekeepers Association, but also with the Scottish Beekeepers Association north of the border, you know, to encourage people to use the service. And it basically, if a farmer's thinking of using insecticide, they can tell the system when, where, and how they will be applying a plant protection product. And the system looks for beekeepers within a 5 kilometer radius and sends them a message so that they can then go out and either close their hive or move their hive to protect their bees and pollinators. Yeah.
But these initiatives with Be Connected, which again is beconnected.org.uk, is that as well as our National Register of Sprayer Operators, where we have CPD for sprayer operators, and the National Sprayer Testing Scheme, where plant protection product applicators, sprayers, spreaders, misters, foggers, etc., etc., are given, in inverted commas, an MOT to make sure they're annually. We don't like using the word MOT, but it's a for our layman's terms, that's what it is, and it's a great way of making sure our machines and our application equipment is safe and putting our products in the right place. So with these like different spars and routes we go, it really is bringing the whole industry together and make it more professional and lifting it up. And that's what we've done with stewardship, to prove that we are professional industry to be able to stave off a pesticide tax back in 2001. And again, we kind of alluded to it earlier of farming. And, you know, as a farmer myself, I can get quite a short-term memory of I forget what I did last year or the year before. And sometimes we forget why the VI was created in the first place. And I think now is more appropriate than ever to try and remind growers and industry why the VI is here, and we were created to avoid a pesticide tax, and good stewardship and good professionalism of the industry goes a long way to avoiding being having a stick approach and being battered with an additional tax, which we don't want to talk about too much of tax implications currently in the environment.
Thank you, Neil and Dave, for joining us today. It's been a really interesting conversation and learning all about what the VI. I didn't know the proper wealth of the information and areas that you cover, so that's been really fascinating. And thank you for joining us today. We'll save all the links to documents and guidance notes that have been discussed throughout this podcast on the webpage. If you've enjoyed listening, please like, subscribe, and follow our podcast series wherever you listen to them. And please get in touch if you want to find out more. Farming Water Scotland is funded by the Scottish Government and delivered by SAC Consulting in partnership with SEPA to help farmers and land managers reduce diffuse pollution risk and benefit the farm business.